Good morning. Please take your Bibles and turn over to Luke 17. Luke chapter 17. Really appreciate this church. I love your pastor. I love many of you here I've known for a while. I don't recognize everyone here, but thankful to be here. And I appreciate the hotel room last night. It was just going to be really hard for us to travel with a newborn and three other little kids. And it was actually pretty hard anyways this morning, but it would have been a lot harder to get out the door early enough. So I appreciate that. And this is the opportunity to be here. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 17 this morning, and we're going to go ahead and read verses 11 through 19. Luke 17, verse 11, it says, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him ten men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, just thankful, Lord, to be here in your house this morning. Father, thank you for this church and their faithfulness. Thank you for their pastor. And Lord, we thank you just for the opportunity to open up your word, to have the privilege to assemble together. Lord, help us to never take that for granted. Lord, help us to be excited to be here in your house this morning for the opportunity to give you worship. And I pray, Father, you bless this message, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here an account of 10 lepers that were healed. No doubt many of you are probably familiar with this account. But I want to look at that this morning. Brother Titus was texting me, not this morning, but before about that it's going to be Thanksgiving services. And so I was just doing Bible studies on Thanksgiving, and I put in my Bible study program, you know, Thanksgiving, thankful, and thank, you know, and just did a word search on that, and there was over 130 different verses that or times where that was mentioned, and really had a hard time narrowing it down, which God's word is, it doesn't lack in admonishments to be thankful and examples of thankfulness. And so I pray that this would be a blessing. But we see here this account that stood out to me, these 10 lepers, and they, in this account, there was only one that turned back and was thankful and gave God the glory. And, you know, to me, I take that as, it's kind of sad that it seems like most people are not thankful. And, but I want to look at this passage, and we'll get to, kind of what I would have titled, what I titled this is, "Where are the 9?" What the Lord said there, but we're going to get down to that verse. But first I want to just, go through this passage. First of all, look at the request of the lepers. There's 10 of them, 10 people that, had this disease that would have alienated them from society. You know, they couldn't go around other people. They couldn't go into the city. It was just a miserable disease to have. But we see here their request. And I want to notice the promptness of the request. It says there in verse 12, "And as he entered into a certain village," they didn't wait. When they saw the Lord, of course they couldn't have been in the city. They had to be outside. They couldn't have been in there. But they didn't wait. When they saw the Lord, they immediately cried out to him. Like I said, this disease would have made them alienated from society. They would have had to declare themselves unclean. Anytime they would see someone walking near them or around them, it says in Leviticus 13, verse 45, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, 'Unclean, unclean.'" So according to the law, they had to stay afar off, and they did that. But they were doing what they were supposed to do. And also you see that they were all kind of grouped together. They couldn't be around other people, but they all had leprosy, so they tended to get together in groups there. There's another account in 2 Kings that talks about there was four leprous men at the entering of the gate. So that was okay. They were all together. They all had that. But I want to look here at their promptness. You know, they didn't sit around and wait. As soon as they saw the Lord, they cried out to Him. If you have a need for the Lord, if there's anything that you're struggling with, or maybe there's a decision that you're trying to make, and you don't try other things first, right? You don't go to this person and that person. You ought to go to the Lord first. And they to their credit, as soon as they saw the Lord, they cried out to Him. They said, I know, I've heard of this person. I've heard that He's healed other people. And they didn't wait. And neither should we. If we have a need, whether it could be, like you said, a physical need that we have, or like I said, a decision that we need to make, don't wait. Go to the Lord first. Don't try other things first. Go to Him first. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't wait. Be prompt. If you have a need, go to the Lord immediately. And this is exactly what they did. They didn't wait and say, well, maybe when He comes back out of the village, we'll catch Him on the way out. They didn't wait, because maybe He wouldn't come back out that way, or maybe they wouldn't see Him. They immediately went to Him. And not only we see the promptness of their request, but then we see the proclamation of their request. It says, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They obviously, as we said, they had to keep their distance. They couldn't walk up to Him and say, please have mercy on us. They kept their distance. And so in a sense, I can understand why they would have had to lift up their voices. But I don't think that's the only reason. I think they saw an opportunity with the Lord, and no doubt they had heard of other healings that the Lord had done, and probably were filled with hope that this might be the day that maybe we'll be cleansed, or maybe He can heal us as He had others too. This wasn't the first time that a leper was healed. There's an account there's a few parallel accounts of this, of another leper that was healed. And there's a few, but I'm going to back up a little bit there because I'm getting ahead of myself. There were other people in the scripture that saw the Lord and cried out to Him for help. In Matthew 9, there was two blind men that cried out for mercy to the Lord. It says in Matthew 9, verse 27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed Him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. So they cried out to Him. There was an account in Matthew 15. It says, and behold, a woman of Canaan, this is verse 22 of Matthew 15, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. There's another account in Matthew 20. Another two blind men cried out to the Lord. And they cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And even in that one, people said, hey, be quiet, hold your peace. And no, they cried out again because they saw the Lord. They saw an opportunity, and they were prompt, and they lifted up their voices. They wanted Him to hear them. They had an opportunity to potentially be healed, and they didn't want to miss that opportunity. So obviously, they had to keep their distance because of the leprosy. But also, I think it was just out of desperation. They cried out to the Lord. You ever do that? Just go to Him in prayer and just cry out to Him. God, obviously, we pray to God the Father, and we cry out to Him for help. And they said, Lord, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They recognized Him in that way as Master in this account. So we see the promptness of their request. We see the proclamation of their requests, or they lifted up their voices. They made sure they wanted the Lord to hear them. They wanted Him to hear their request. And then we see the Lord's reply to this. We see some instructions from Him. It says, "And when He saw them, He said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests." If the Lord wanted to, He could have just healed them right there on the spot. The Lord had healed various people in different ways, and maybe they heard some of the accounts of other people being healed. I almost jumped here a minute ago, but there was another account, and I'm going to turn there in Mark chapter 1. Is it Mark 1? I might have. Well, hold on. Let's get there. Yeah, Mark chapter 1 and verse 40, where there was another leper that that the Lord healed. It says in verse 40, "And there came a leper to Him, beseeching Him, and kneeling down to Him, and saying unto Him, If Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as He had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed." So in this passage of Scripture, the Lord just, and it's amazing to me, He touched him. He touched a leprous man, but He healed him. And that's the power that the Lord had. And if He wanted to do that in this other account, He could have healed him. He could have just said it to him to be healed. But in this case, He told them, go show yourselves unto the priests. But this account here in Mark 1, after He had healed that man, He told them, He said in verse 44, "Say thou nothing to any man." He told him, don't go telling anyone. Don't tell anyone. He said, "Say nothing to any man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priests and offer thy cleansing for the things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." But it says, but he went out and began to publish it. He couldn't keep his mouth shut. And so word began to spread. And that's why I think that these men here, they had heard about how Jesus had healed other people before. Word had gotten out. But you see, in this case, the Lord didn't tell them, you're healed, I'm going to touch you, you're healed. Immediately, He said, go show yourselves to the priests. First of all, yeah, He told them it was in accordance with the law, and He mentioned it to this other man in Mark chapter 1 to go and show yourselves to the priests. And you see, He didn't expressly tell them, I'm going to heal you. But they also asked for mercy. They didn't expressly say, heal us. But I think we understand that that's what they were trying to have happen. But he told them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And they did that. They obeyed the Lord as He told them to do. And we'll get into the reason here in a second on why they went, why He told them to go and show yourselves to the priest. You probably know of the law that they had to do that. But they did. They obeyed what the Lord had to say here. And it says, "And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." They were healed. And you can just imagine as they're going along that, I don't know how far along they got down the path before they started to realize things were going on. But you can just imagine how exciting that would have been. Like, they had to have been jumping for joy. They had to have been just amazed at the fact that they were cleansed. They were healed. Like, He healed us. This is amazing. So they would have had that joy. And like I said, I don't know exactly how far they got down the path. But it does say in the next verse that, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. So next I want to look at the return of one leper. The return of one leper. Now, like I said, I think they all would have been excited. They all would have, like, they were healed of this. That doesn't just happen, right? There wasn't, like, you couldn't just take some antibiotics and then over a period of days. Like, this was immediate. As they were going, they were cleansed. And they would have been excited, but there was only one that turned around to offer thanks. It says, when he saw he was healed, he turned back and gave thanks. You know, unlike the others who were probably off to go and see the priests so they could get on with their life, so they can go enter back into society and kind of do what they wanted to do. They were finally free from this disease that they didn't have to deal with anymore. This one, instead of doing that and getting in a hurry to get back to life, he first stopped and he gave thanks to the Lord. And, you know, in a way, studying out the law and kind of what they had to do in order to be declared cleansed, in order to go back into the city and into society, I can kind of understand why they would have been in a hurry to do that. Because if, as you study it out, we'll turn there Leviticus 14. As you study it out, it wasn't exactly the quickest of processes to be declared clean by the priest. So I'm not going to read all of Leviticus 14, but I just want to kind of try to summarize it a little bit and point out the verses where this is mentioned, this process. But Leviticus 14 talks about what has to be done for a leper to be declared clean by the priest. And there were several steps. And the first one is that they needed to be brought to the priest. And that was in verse 2. Then this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. All right, so he had to go where the priest was. But of course, he couldn't go in to the city. He couldn't go in to where the priest was. The priest would have to leave the camp and go out to him. And it was because of the priest, because like I said, they had leprosy or they weren't declared clean from it. So they couldn't go into the city. They couldn't go into where the priest was. He had to come out, it says, and the priest shall go forth, this is verse 3, out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. So the priest had to go out to him. And could I just add real quick that we can study the Lord, you can read about him in Hebrews, and you can learn about how he is our great high priest, and how, you know what, we could have never went to him. We didn't have the ability to do that. The Bible says that he came to us. And we can read about our great high priest. It says in Hebrews 2, I put these in my notes. I tend to do that a lot. I put a lot in my notes, and I'll try to turn to some of them. But it says in Hebrews 2, verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. All right? Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1 also talks about, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. And then Hebrews 4, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. And we can go on there. But we see here, Jesus is our high priest. He's our high priest, and he came to us. We would have never been able to come to Christ. No one gets smart enough. No one comes to church and they hear about the Lord and they say, you know, that sounds good. I think I'm going to do that. They would never do that. No one would come to Christ had he not drawn him, had the Father not drawn us. It says in John 6:44, no man can come to me, this is Jesus speaking, except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. But what mercy to have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. And just like these lepers were cleansed of their disease, if we've been saved, our sins have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. And that ought to cause us to give him glory. That ought to get us excited. That should make us happy to come into the house of the Lord and lift up our voices in song to him. And the Bible talks, and let's turn over to Titus 3. Titus 3. And I'm going to read it starting in verse 3. It says, for we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that we being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You know, we think of what the Lord did for us and what we were and what he did in saving us. And that ought to cause some thankfulness to flow from us. That ought to cause us, like this leper, to turn back and give glory to the Lord. And so we see Jesus, he did that for us in saving us. But back to the law there in Leviticus 14. So he had to go to the priest. The priest had to come out to him. And then, according to verses 4 through 7, if the leprosy was healed, then the priest had to take two birds, that one would be killed over running water, and the living one dipped in the blood of the killed bird and set free in a field. And then there was, you know, there's more instructions there. I'm trying to summarize, but they had to do this. He had to do this act with these birds. And then it says in verse 8, the person would then have to wash their clothes. They shave off every bit of hair and leave for 7 days. All right, so like I said, this isn't like the quickest of process. You don't just go there and he checks you out. Okay, you're good. Like this was a drawn out thing. And then according to verse 9, on the seventh day, he had once again shave, wash their clothes, bathe again. On the eighth day, there had to be multiple offerings. It says in verse 10 of Leviticus 14, and on the eighth day, he shall take two he lambs without blemish and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish and 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering mingled with oil and a log of oil. And it goes on that the priest would have to then do these different offerings. The priest would have to take some of the blood from the offering and put it on, I think it was on his ear and on his like toe, like different body parts they had to put that blood on. And then the priest would have to pour some oil in his left hand, have sprinkled some of it 7 times before the Lord, and placed some of it on parts of the man's body which the blood had been placed, and poured the rest upon his head. So, like, lots of steps going on here. Like, it wasn't a quick process. Then they had to offer the sin offering, the burnt offering, the meat offering. And after all that, in verse 20, it says, and he shall be clean. And then it would go on from there, because there's further instructions. If the person was poor, they didn't have the means to bring the certain things for the offerings that were mentioned. There were alternate things that they could bring. But there was just a lot of steps involved. And I really had a hard time just trying to summarize it. But you could dig deep into this process. And there's a lot there that points to the Lord, even in that. But my point in saying this is that these that didn't turn back to the Lord like the one leper did, they were likely aware of the law. They were aware of this process. And they wanted to go and get that done, I guess. They wanted to get to the priest. They had things that they had to do. And they just, whether it was carelessness or whatever, they didn't turn to give glory and thanks to the Lord like the one did. But that you know, like I said, it wasn't so with the one leper. He turned back, and when he saw, he was healed. That's why I don't think he went. I personally don't think he went to the priest, got all this taken care of, and then came back and thanked the Lord. Because it says they were cleansed as they went, and as they saw that he was healed, he turned back. And I don't know if the Lord was still there. Like, I don't know how far away they got from the Lord again. But he turned back, and the others didn't. And he glorified the Lord. And let that be an example to us. How many times do we go to the Lord and in prayer? We ask for help in this situation. We ask for healing in that situation. And the Lord blesses. The Lord answers. The Lord heals in a situation. The Lord gives you wisdom in making a decision. He leads in a way, and he works a situation out. And what do we do? Do we go? Do we immediately go to him and thank him for that? Do we immediately turn and give him glory? Or do we just kind of move on and we just kind of take things for granted? Like, oh, the Lord, he always blesses. He always comes through. And we go on and just live our lives. I hope that's not the case. But there's a lot of admonishments in Scripture for us to be thankful. And I think a lot of times we don't think that the Lord just answered a prayer that I had. You know, that's why it's good. You know, some people write down all their prayer requests. When we do a Sunday school with the teens, we always start with prayer requests. And I just have a book there and we look back and see you know, how the Lord has blessed, and we need to do that. I need to be better at that personally. I'm sure there's all these times, there's many times where the Lord blesses, and I don't think I should give him glory in that. I should give him thanks. And immediately, we saw the promptness of the request from the lepers, right? They immediately went to him. How many times we know to go to the Lord? We have a situation, I'm going to the Lord, I know he's the one that can handle it, but we should be the same way, to go back to him immediately and give him thanks. So we see the promptness of his thanksgiving in that. He immediately went back to the Lord. And we do prayer requests at Flat Rock the first Wednesday of every month. And we have a Facebook page for our church that throughout the week, a private page, and go out there and put prayer requests out there, and we share those with each other, and it's been nice to have. But if I went back and I just looked at all the posts that I put out there, and a lot of them are, you know, family member in the hospital or kid in the hospital. I guess that's a family member too. You know, like stuff like that. Someone's sick. You know, I could probably go back there and see a lot of prayer requests. But to my shame, if I went back and read through that, I can't tell you how many times I went back there and just put a prayer request. Hey, I just want to thank the Lord. Praise the Lord that he blessed in this situation. We need to be just as quick as we go to the Lord and with our requests, we should go to him in our thanksgiving. And not only do we see the promptness of this leper in his thanksgiving, but we also see the proclamation of it. Just like the lepers were quick to go to the Lord, they're quick to lift up their voice, we see here this one leper, he didn't try to be quiet about it. It says he lifted up his voice. It says with a loud voice, glorified God. And his gratitude to the Lord meant so much. He didn't care who heard him. He didn't care who was around. You know, when they were leprous, they had to keep their distance according to the law, as we said. So that made sense that they kind of had to lift up their voices just being at a physical distance from the Lord. But in this case, you know, he could have theoretically just kind of quietly walked up to him and thanked him. You know, didn't want to make a scene out of it. Don't want to be considered a fanatic, you know, but he didn't do that. He couldn't keep quiet about it. You know, how many times are we like that? How many times are we quiet in giving thanks and glory? You know, giving glory to the Lord. Are we like that? Are we timid about it? Or we don't want to cause a scene. You know, I don't want to make people think I'm crazy. They're going to do that anyways. As we heard in the Sunday school lesson, people are going to call your good evil. It's just you can't. You know, we shouldn't be concerned about that. But it says in Psalm 107, verse 21 and 22, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And that's like the third of four times in that psalm where they're admonished to give, to praise the Lord. That's not something that you can really do quietly. The next verse there says, "And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." You know, do you ever thank the Lord in public? Do you ever thank the Lord? Do you ever say praise the Lord or thank the Lord for when something at work goes well? You get some looks for that. But the Lord, he blesses, and he deserves the glory. He's the one that should be thanked. I think we have so many opportunities publicly to give glory and thanks to the Lord. But how many times do we really take them? And to my shame, I know I don't take them like I should. And but he did. He proclaimed his thanksgiving. He wasn't quiet about it. He wasn't. He didn't care who was around. He didn't care. He just was so thankful to the Lord. That's all he was focused on. And he went. So we see the proclamation of his thanksgiving. And next we see the posture of his thanksgiving. You know, his posture demonstrated humility. It says he fell down on his face at the Lord's feet, giving him thanks. That is the most humble position. You can't really get any lower than on your face at someone's feet. And you can just picture this man just falling down to the ground in thankfulness and in gratitude to the Lord. And it would have been on display there. You know, when we're thankful, there's no pride in that. You can't be thankful and prideful at the same time. There's a parable about that. Let's turn over to Luke 18. Oh, wait, it's the next. Okay, it's right there. It's the next chapter. And we see an example of this. It says in verse 9, it says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." It says, "Two men went up into a temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that sounds good. You're thanking the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do. But then it says, I thank thee that I am not like other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know what? This Pharisee in this parable, it was all about himself. He said, I thank you, Lord, but he wasn't really thankful. He was just prideful, and you can't be both. And so when this leper came, and he didn't say, I thank you that I came back and the others didn't. I thank you that I obeyed you. No, he just thanked the Lord for healing him. He was recognizing the power of the Lord, giving him the glory that he deserved, and he was humble about it. And if we're truly thankful, we're going to be humble. I mean, you can't, like I said, you can't get any lower than on your face. When's the last time we just fell down in thanksgiving to the Lord? And it ought to be something that honestly happens more than we do. And I could say that confidently about myself. But then we see here the response of the Lord to this. So we turn our attention to the Lord, and he asks a couple of rhetorical questions. It says in verse 17, and Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? The Lord pointed out with these questions the sad reality that the unthankful outnumber the thankful. You know, where are the 9? Where are the thankful people? You know, we're in the house of the Lord this morning. We're blessed to be here. We're blessed that he revealed truth unto us. And it's by his grace and by his mercy that we're in his house. We ought to be a thankful people, don't you think? Like but the sad reality is most are unthankful. We have so many blessings. We've been blessed by God in so many ways, but we're not thankful like we should be. We're not. I mean, we ought to be the most. It ought to be obvious. I mean, to people around us, man, they're always giving the Lord glory. Why do they always say thank you, Lord? Why do they always say praise the Lord? And at work, that should really be like what people are saying, but they don't see that. And most are unthankful. Everybody experiences the blessings of the Lord, you know, not even just the saved, but there's even the lost or the unrighteous experience blessings. It says in Matthew 5:45, says that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Both experience the blessings of God, whether they recognize it or not. Luke 6:35 says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. So everybody experiences the blessings of the Lord. And if you looked at Romans 1, I'm not going to turn there, but it's talking about God's wrath towards unrighteousness. And he mentions in that list of things, he mentions those that were unthankful. It says in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Being unthankful is also something that's described in the last days. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And it goes on. But you know, these are not lists. These are not groups that I'd want to be a part of. We wouldn't want to be in these lists of people or lists of these sins. Unthankfulness is in a list of covetousness and boasters and blasphemers. I mean, unthankful is right there in that. That's what the Lord thinks of unthankfulness. And it's just not a group that we want to be a part of. And what's an even sadder commentary in this passage in Luke 17 is that apparently the 9 who didn't give thanks, they were Jews. And the other, the Lord mentioned as a stranger. And Luke mentioned, as a Samaritan. You know, the ones that were supposed to be, God's people. The ones that knew of him and all that he'd done in history. You would think maybe it'd be one of them. If there's going to be one of them, maybe it'd be one of them that would turn back and give the Lord thanks. But it wasn't them. And they were too busy or something, or they wanted to get back to their lives. I read this quote. It says, this is from R. Winterbotham. I saw it in the commentary. I tried my best to look up this guy to see who he was, but I couldn't figure it out. But it was a good quote. It says, "We know that the great bulk of Christians are ungrateful, for they are more concerned in lamenting the petty losses and securing the petty gains of life than in showing their thankfulness to God for his inestimable love." I mean, aren't we just too busy? Church is great. I love church. All right, now what am I doing next? Or we're at church and we're thinking, okay, how's work going to go this week? Actually, I don't know that because I'm on paternity leave until... I'm not trying to brag, but... who gives 12 weeks of paternity leave? I don't know. That'd be General Motors. I'm thankful for that. And but doing school with the kids is way harder than work, I've learned.
We're busy. But I feel busier than ever just trying to get the kids through the school day. And... But you know what? We're not too busy to give the Lord thanks. We're just not. We make ourselves busier. Our minds are just... We have too much on our mind. Too much of the world on our mind. And it's to our shame. We ought to be giving the Lord thanks. We ought to be thankful to Him. If we're saved, that alone ought to cause us to praise God and thank Him every day. And yet He continues to bless us. He blesses more than we can comprehend. And it says in Psalm 68, verse 19, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah." I mean, we're told over and over and over again in the Scriptures to be thankful. And like I said, I think that's for a reason. We need to be reminded of that. Psalm 100, verse 4, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless him." All right, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Just over and over again, we're told, be thankful, be thankful. And this man here, this one person, this leper, this Samaritan, he was the one. And I do believe that the Lord saved him. It says, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." These other nine, they still had their physical healing. The Lord didn't take that away from them, though you could tell that he was disappointed in that none of them, none of the others came back. They still had that blessing of the physical healing. But this man was saved. He was saved. And people ought to see us as a thankful people. The Lord deserves it. It says, let's turn over to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. This will be where we... And we're going to read starting in verse 1, if I could get there. I have it in my notes, so I'm trying to turn there. Ephesians 1, or 5, verse 1. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ hath also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." It says, and then here's another list, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named or once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." Paul lists these things here. This is not a good list of things that ought to be coming out of our mouths and things that we ought to be doing. He says, "Don't any of these horribly wicked things, don't let that be named among you, or all this foolish talking, all that, but rather giving of thanks." That's what we ought to be known for. Too many Christians
They laugh at the dirty jokes. They might tell the dirty jokes. They might they blend in too much with the world. And we ought to be known for giving of thanks. And that's what he said. And he went on to tell them, like, you know where you came from. You know what the Lord saved you from. And then it says, jumping down to verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all the things, for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we ought to be doing. And Scripture tells us over and over and over again that we ought to be thankful. But the Lord says here, where are the nine? Where are the thankful people? Where are they? They ought to be in this room. It's sad when somebody who's considered a stranger in this passage here would give more glory to God than supposedly God's people. Hopefully that would not be named of us, right? But where are they? Where's the nine? Let's not be part of the unthankful majority. Let's be like the Samaritan who immediately, passionately, publicly, humbly gave thanks to God and gave him glory as he deserved. That's it.